Hi. Well, good morning, everybody. You know, I don't know about you all, but I've got butterflies floating around in my stomach, so that means one of three things. Either I'm nervous, and I've done this enough that I don't think that's the case. Two, maybe I have gas. Let's hope not. or three, maybe, just maybe, the Holy Spirit is here this morning. You know, I don't know about you, but worship this morning it's better than it's been in a while. I don't know what it was about this morning's worship service, but there was something going on, something stirring this morning. Absolutely. So, just before we get started, I'd just like to take a minute and pray. So with that, Father, we thank you, Father, that your Spirit, Father, that it was by your grace, Father, that we were saved, that we were set apart, Father, that we might know you and that you might bring us into a family, into a house, Father, where we have an identity, a purpose, and a destiny. We thank you, Father. We thank you so much for those things. And we ask this morning, Father, that the Spirit that is present, that it would increase and increase and increase, Father, that the words that are spoken this morning, Father, would reach out and touch people's hearts in a genuine way, Father, because you want to move this morning, Father. There's some things that you want to break free this morning, Father, that have been holding people for a while. I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to share a quick little anecdote with you. So this morning I was sitting at the breakfast table. So this is just to prepare you for today's sermon. I was sitting at the breakfast table and my youngest son, Stephen, says to me, "Dad, are you preaching today?" I says, "Yeah, I'm preaching today." And he says, "What are you preaching about?" Well, I told him, "Jesus." And he says, "Really?" He says, "Are we going to have taste testing with that?" I looked at Michelle. She looked at me and we're like, "What?" He's like, "Yeah, there are going to be samples and different kinds of cheeses." So if you're coming to hear a sermon about cheeses, you're in the wrong place. So I want you to say something with me. God cares about my past. Now, whether you believe that or not is a whole another thing. But I'm here to tell you this morning that God cares not only about your past, but he cares about the past generations that came before you. This thing is not just about you, and it's not just about me. There is a collective thing going on here. So you need to hold on to that. As we walk through this today, you need to understand that God cares about your past. And when I say your past, I'm not talking just about your immediate past, like what happened in the last 2 weeks, or the last 2 years, the last 5 years, or 10 years. God cares about your past and the generations that came before you and the legacy that was built that you now stand on today. He cares about those things, both the good and the bad. He cares about both of them because he's orchestrated the events of human history since the beginning of time until now, and he knows what's going to come in the future. So it's important for us to understand the past. So how many of you have ever gotten a phone call? Yeah? You've gotten a phone call before? How many of you have gotten the phone call? You're sitting at home one evening, it's a Sunday evening or a Saturday evening, the phone rings, and the phone conversation might go something like this. "Hello? yes, this is Brandon Nickish. You want to know about my grandma? You're related to me. How? So now you want the birth dates of my children. Huh. You want me to tell you about my dad? If you've ever received that phone call from what we'll call the family historian, it can be an awkward conversation. Well, that's me. I am the family historian, and I'm the one that makes those awkward phone calls. And you know, you get some real interesting responses when you start calling people that you've never met, never known, but you share the same bloodline. As you start calling them and asking them questions about your family. Go ahead and go to the next slide, please. You see, these represent some of the generations of my family. Now, in that photograph, there's a World War I veteran who survived the first gas attack at Ypres in Belgium. There's a World War II veteran, a Vietnam-era veteran. There's early pioneers and settlers that went out west and settled the lands in Montana, Nebraska, North Dakota, South Dakota. There's German immigrants, Irish immigrants. There's Civil War veterans. There's a whole host of stories represented right there in that photograph that helped shape my life and helped shape who I am today and the person that stands here before you today. There's good stories. There's bad stories. There's murder. There's divorce. There's child abuse. But there's also some amazing, amazing stories of triumph and courage and family and some amazing values that have been passed down from generation to generation that have built me and made me the person that I am today and launched me on a trajectory that I had no idea that they were doing, and perhaps they didn't know what they were doing. But I like to believe that each one of them had a sense of what they were building for future generations. And I think perhaps that's kind of lost somewhat on today's culture. We live in a country that's got access to so much data, and people move around and travel so much more than they did even 20, 30 years ago. People can go to the far-flung places on this country, on this continent, in this world, and still think that they can stay in touch with one another. But what we're losing is a shared sense of values as we begin to spread out and move around. When you used to live in these communities as a family, there was a shared sense of who you were. You could leave your child with your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle, your cousin, and know that they shared the same exact set of identical values that you held. And in that there was security. And most people even found their identity in that. It rooted them. It helped them understand who they were, and it was a safe environment. It was a place for them to grow and discover their dreams and their future. Next slide, please. So, what drives people to learn about their family history? Did you know that one out of every 200 queries on the internet right now is about family history? One out of every 200. Think about that. How many internet searches do you do on a daily basis? In some way, shape, or form, one out of every 200, it's estimated, has to do with family history. There's millions and millions and millions of files coming online every day related to genealogical research, whether they be birth certificates, death certificates, marriage records, church records, all kinds of different records are being digitized daily that are free for us to access. There's television shows. Anybody watch Who Do You Think You Are? On TV? There's two or three pretty big genealogical television shows on TV right now. Who Do You Think You Are probably being the biggest one of them, where they go through the lives of these superstars, I'll call them, or highly public people, and they dig into their past to see what's there. Social networking makes genealogical research much easier now. You can reach and touch and talk to people much easier than you could before and learn about your past, learn about who you are. The growth rate of the genealogical sector is exploding, increasing 30%, over 30% most quarters. It's off the charts, the growth in this area. And it's because of the access to the information that we have now that wasn't available in the past. So, what do you suppose is behind that? What's behind that? This interest, this people's interest. How many of you know your family tree back two generations? Three? Four? It starts decreasing. Five? It starts decreasing as you discover the generations of your family. But what drives you to understand that? What drives you to understand your past? What prevents you from looking into your past? You see, as I said earlier, for most of us, early on in your life, you start to derive your sense of identity from your family, your immediate surroundings. And that's our responsibility as parents, as grandparents, correct? As family members, is to help our child discover who they are and help get them rooted in who they are and what they have the potential to become. That's part of our job. That's part of what we do. But unfortunately, sometimes along the way, in that process, we get hurt. We get hurt in that process, and we disconnect ourselves from that identity. We no longer want to say, I'm a Nickish, because for you to say that, you know, for you to say, I am a Nickish, or I am a Dickerson, or I am a Hernandez, you associate pain with that, because there's a painful memory associated with that thing. For some reason, the people that were supposed to help root you in who you are caused damage there. And maybe it sets you on a path in your life that's not the best path or best course, and it starts to create some behaviors in you that maybe you don't understand why you're doing these things, and you don't even attach it to that past memory or that past hurt. But it prevents you from learning about, but those things prevent you from learning about who you are. There is so much value in understanding the generations that came before you and the groundwork that they laid for you. And I believe God cares about these things because He cares about our past. He cares about the legacy and the traditions that came before, because it was upon those things that He's building His church as it moves forward. And it's those things that He's redeeming. He is redeeming our pasts. And that past impacts not only your present, but it also impacts your future. It impacts where you're going. Because as I said, it sets you on a trajectory. Your past sets you on a trajectory of where you're going to go in your life. I want you to think of it like a highway. On a highway, let's think of a multi-lane highway. And there's many, many, many highways crisscrossing this country. And a lot of them converge, say, in St. Louis. Now, there's many different ways to get to St. Louis. Many highways, many paths, many multi-lane highways. And sometimes on those highways, there's accidents, there's crashes, things happen. Now, we can choose to get in the left-hand lane and move past the accident, or we can choose to sit in the right-hand lane behind the accident and never move any further and stay stuck right where we're at. You can choose to do that. You can choose to stay exactly where you're at, and you'll never reach your destination. You'll never get where you want to go. So I want to walk you through a passage of Scripture today. It's the first chapter of 1 Peter. Now this book of the Bible was written by Peter to the Jewish church that was scattered throughout Asia Minor at the time. And if you know even just a little bit about the Jewish people are very huge, huge on their genealogy. That is core and central to who they are. This is why in the Bible you see all these genealogies, the son of, the son of, the son of, and the son of, and the son of, and the son of, and you fall asleep about half, maybe a couple chapters into Numbers. But it is crucial to who they are as a people. Understanding the past and where they came from, and the traditions and the values and everything that defines them as a people group, it's what's held them together as a people for centuries of being scattered all over the earth. If you think about it, the Jewish people have constantly been persecuted and scattered to the far reaches of the globe. And yet somehow they maintain this cohesiveness about who they are. They understand who they are. And that drives them. It fills them with hope. There's a certain amount of hope that's built upon knowing who you are. So you see that in 1 Peter 1. He writes to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And I probably just murdered half of those names. And he starts off with an introduction. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away." I want to suggest to you that your past, your family, doesn't determine your identity, okay? Your identity is rooted in Christ Jesus. It's rooted right there. But your past does help shape your future, your purpose, and your trajectory for where you're going. They're two different things. When you understand your identity, when you understand that you were born again and you are now a son or daughter of God, your past now begins to have a purpose. When you grab a hold of that idea that now I'm a son or daughter of God and He is redeeming all things, my past now has a purpose. My pain now has a purpose. My struggle now has a purpose. This is huge. This is huge. God cares about your past because you've obtained an inheritance. What is our inheritance? It's the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is not a place, it's not a thing, it's authority. It's the authority to represent Him in every situation that you're in because you're appointed to this time and place right now, and everything that's happened has a purpose for where you're going. So moving on in the passage, 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When you discover for the first time that your past matters to God, that my pain, my hurt, now has a purpose. There's something that will wake up inside of you and it will shout and it will rejoice because you've been redeemed. You've been saved from that thing and you no longer have to sit in that right-hand lane. You can jump over the left-hand lane and you can start making your way towards the destination and the purpose that He has for you. That is something to rejoice about, folks. That is something to get excited about. First Peter 1:10 to 12. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating, as He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you. We'll stop right there for a second. These prophets... Are we a prophetic people? Yes? These prophets weren't serving themselves. This is a generational idea. This isn't an idea about me and the present time. The prophetic word not only serves the present, it serves the future. Any prophetic word that comes has to have both of those aspects. It may provide hope in the present circumstances, but it lets us know what the outcome is going to be as well. And that inspires hope as well. But it's a generational concept to understand that what I'm bringing now isn't just for me, it's for future generations. You've got to grab a hold of this. You've got to grab a hold of this idea that we are an intergenerational people. We've got to begin to root ourselves in this identity of being the people of God. Because He cares about our past, our present, and our future, not just the right now. So it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Why do the angels long to look there? Because they're not sons. Why can they not look there? They're not sons. They don't have the inheritance. They're servants. They're servants, not sons. But that's another message. 1 Peter 1:13, 16. Therefore, so here it comes. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts, which were yours in ignorance. But like the Holy One who has called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." So I want to focus there on verse 14 for just a second. Which were yours in ignorance. How many of you have heard of generational curses? Yeah? Alcoholism runs in my family. Multiple generations of alcoholism. Yours in ignorance. There are things in your family history, okay, that affect you now that you didn't know. There are things that you didn't know about your past that have been set in place long before you ever came into this world that are affecting you now. And maybe you do know about them. You just didn't understand that those things can carry forward and continue to carry forward unless once you're saved, now you have the Spirit resident inside of you. You have the Holy Spirit resident inside of you that speaks to you and says, you can be free from that thing which trapped them. You can be free from that car wreck to move into the left-hand lane and keep going forward. You've got to grab a hold of this. Grab a hold of this. These things were yours in ignorance, but you are no longer ignorant. If you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you have no more excuses. There are no more excuses. Ignorance is bliss. It really is. But the Holy Spirit is saying, I want to set you free from those things. I've got a purpose and I've got a plan for your life and I care about your past. And there are those people out there that are hurting just like you're hurting that need to hear your testimony to help set them free. But we can't do that if we don't know where we came from. You've got to learn about where you came from. 1 Peter 1, 17-19. If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life, inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers. Now that may seem offensive to some people who say, I had a wonderful childhood. My family's amazing. I've grown up in a loving Christian home. I was saved at an early age. But if you've established your identity in your family and not in Christ Jesus, it's futile. It is futile. You will run into brick wall after brick wall after brick wall, hurt upon hurt, until you free yourself from that. There are many Christians who still do not grasp the idea of what their identity is. What defines who you are? What defines you? You've inherited certain things from your forefathers. Now let me say this too. I keep talking about some of the hurts and the pains. You've also inherited from your forefathers some wonderful, amazing things. Some generational things that are just outstanding to carry forward. There are values and ideas and concepts and different things that our parents and our grandparents have given to us that we need to hold on to. These are things we need to hold on to. They've withstood, as they say, the test of time. There are certain things that have withstood the test of time that we cannot let go of, certain truths, certain things that we can't let go of. And it would be foolish of us to let go of those things because there is some work that's been done to build a foundation so that you can have success in your future. And that was because of the previous generations. My parents, my grandparents, my great-grandparents, they worked as hard as they could. I think of my mother's family. My mother's family were pioneers and settlers. Okay, they came across the prairie, lived in dirt houses, y'all. Dirt houses. And they farmed and barely scraped out a living. Living in a dirt house so that I can stand here today, have a white-collar job, and have the blessings of everything that they struggled through so that I didn't have to struggle through it. That is something to hold on to. That is something to hold on to. There's something to be said for that. So 1 Peter 1, 22-23. Since you have an obedience to the truth, who's the truth? Jesus. Jesus is the truth. Since you have an obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring Word of God. So, our identity isn't rooted in our family. Why? It's perishable. These are human things. These are human things. Your identity is not rooted in your family. So if you're running from your past and you're running from your family name because you don't want to be identified with that, find confidence in the fact that you have a seed that is imperishable. You have an identity that is imperishable. There's hope in that. There is hope in understanding that which Christ gives to us as an inheritance goes long beyond our time here on earth. And it covers everything that happened to us in the past. That identity brings you a restoration for all parts of your soul and all parts of your past. Every single last piece of it can be restored. So, here's the difficult part. What part of your past is not redeemed? What hurts, what pains that were inflicted on you by those that were supposed to secure you in your identity, were supposed to secure you in your future, what part of that is not redeemed for you? Was it an abusive father? Was it the fact that you were kicked out of home, kicked out of your house when you were 16 years old? You know, I can run down the list. I can start running down the list and start naming things. But each individual here has a story, has a past, and a part of their past that needs to be redeemed so that they can get out of that right-hand lane, they can get past that traffic accident, and they keep moving forward in Christ. You need to understand how your past shapes your future. How does your past shape your future once it's redeemed? How many testimonies have we heard in the past 6 months of people whose pasts have been redeemed? Not enough, you're right. Absolutely not enough, because every single one of us is broken in some fashion or another. And we need the grace of Jesus Christ. We need His grace in our lives to help us overcome those things that we simply can't get past. And when you grab a hold of this grace that is yours, it is yours, and you don't have to do a darn thing, nothing. You don't have to do anything because Christ cares about your past. And He wants to redeem it. Once it's redeemed, you begin to understand what the purpose is for your life. Your purpose is right there, putting the Father on display. That's your purpose. Your story has value. Your story has value. Your past has value. Your past has value to God, and He cares about it. And that past will help determine your present, how you live right now, and it'll help determine where you're going to go in the future. So what can you do to discover the trajectory provided to you by previous generations? Maybe you know nothing about your family history. You know nothing about it. And it's not because of a lack of wanting to. Maybe you didn't grow up in your family. Maybe you didn't grow up with your mom and your dad or your grandparents. Maybe you were adopted. But I would encourage you, if you don't know your family history, start to look into it. Start to discover what the previous generations did that holds value for you. How did that shape where you're going today? How did what they did in the past determine where I'm going? I've got, on my father's side, 4 generations of military. I didn't even know it when I joined the Marine Corps that that was the case. Had no idea that they went back 4 generations. Do you think perhaps that that military bearing that was brought by 4 generations of men might have impacted the person that I am today? Might explain a little bit about why me, Brandon Nickish, still struggles to this day to show emotion. As a military person, okay, as a military person, you maintain your bearings. You always maintain your bearings because to show emotion will get you killed. In the heat of battle, showing emotions quite often will get you killed. You've got to stuff that stuff down. You've got to stuff it down inside of you and keep it there. But when God starts to shine His light on this stuff and starts to reveal it to you, you're free. You become free to be the person that He wants you to be, but I can still hold on to all the good that came from those 4 generations of military men, because there is some good stuff there. There is some good stuff there that you can hold on to. But you got to dig into your past to find out what it is. If you want to dig, come talk to me. If you want to dig, I'm a genealogical nut, okay? It's my obsession. It's not a hobby, it's my obsession. And as I've dug into it, with the Holy Spirit's help, it's unveiled so much for me that's helped me understand why I am the way I am, why I do some of the things I do. And it's helped me redeem certain parts of myself, and it's helped strengthen me in certain behaviors that I have, because I understand where they came from. And the last question I'd ask you is, figure out what you can do. What can you do to honor the sacrifices of those generations that came before you? This is big. This is big. We don't want to forget where we came from. We can't forget where we came from. You see, if you forget where you came from, there's an old saying that if you don't remember your past, you're doomed to repeat it. Okay? Now, this applies to the church as well as a whole, for leadership in the church. If we as a church don't understand our past and where we came from, we'll be doomed to repeat the same mistakes. The church will never mature, and it'll never come to the place that Christ needs it to be His bride. And that involves each of us as individuals understanding where we came from and understanding our identity. That is the key. Christ died. He died on a cross for you so that you could understand who you are and be redeemed of your past and move forward into your future with a purpose and an identity and a goal for your life. And He's speaking to hearts right now. So I'm going to close with this verse, and then we're going to spend some time at the altar this morning. And this one's out of 1 Peter 2, verses 4 to 5 and 9 and 10. It says, "Coming to Him as a living stone which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." All of these things, every last one of them, speak to an intergenerational relationship. This is not a singular I, me, or you. This is a collective us. It is a collective us, and we have to understand where we came from, to understand who we are and where we are going as a church. And God needs for each and every one of you to be free from your past and be redeemed so we can move forward. So I want to say to you this morning, if you're here and you're holding on to something, if you're holding on to something that's just been dragging you down and preventing you from moving forward, if there's something from your past, someone that you need to forgive, you need to bring it up here today to the altar. You need to bring it here because God is here and He's speaking and He wants to touch you. He wants to touch you. If I could ask for my altar workers to come forward, does the prophetic team have anything today? No? I want to spend some time at the altar today. If you need a touch of God, if you felt something pulling on your heartstrings, I'm asking you today, come forward. Come forward and let Jesus free you from that thing so you can be what He's called you to be. Don't allow your past to dictate where you are right now. Don't allow it to leave you stuck right here. Please, come forward. Let's see what the Holy Spirit will do today. Let's see if He won't touch some people. I have confidence that He will. I know that He will.
One other thing, while we're praying for those who are looking for a touch of God, this is the last Sunday for Karen Fenwick, who's been a member of our church for 15, 20 years, long time. She's leaving, moving to Georgia. So those of you who have connections with Karen Fenwick, could you just come